Open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. We're actually in the same passage we were in last week, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. We're going to be on a different topic, but same passage of Scripture. Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16. Store manager was walking through his store one day, and he overheard one of his clerks speaking to a customer. And the clerk said, no, ma'am, we don't have any, and I don't expect that we're going to get any. We have no idea where we're going to have any. And so, man, the store manager went straight over there. He said, ma'am. No, ma'am, we're going to have some. We made an order last week, he said to the lady, not having a clue what she was asking about. We made an order last week, he said. It's going to be here. We're going to have some soon. And the lady sort of looked at him kind of weird, and she said, thank you, and she kind of backed out of the conversation. As soon as she was out of earshot, boy, he took his clerk to task. He says, never, never, never say that we don't have any. Never say, especially, that we're not going to get any and that you haven't a clue when it's going to happen. He said, and by the way, what did she want? And he said, rain? You got to watch it, don't you? You got to watch it. We've been in a series of topics, I guess you could say, along a similar line. We've been looking at different topics of sin in Scripture. We have what we consider to be sin in our society, and the Bible has what it considers to be sin. And in some cases, we find that the level of the place where we place these sins differs in many cases when it comes to the Scriptures. We've been looking at particularly heinous sins of unforgiveness, and then we just finished up with pride, and then we're going to begin this morning. And then we're going to be back together next Sunday looking at the sin of lying. The sin of lying. I want you to hear what this list that we looked at last time, where we looked at pride, what God has to say on the topic of lying. Beginning here in verse 16, it says, there are six sins which God hates. As we talked about last time, God hates all sin. There's no exceptions. Everything that disagrees with the laws and the principles of God, He hates it. He does not like it because it destroys us. That's one of the reasons. It goes against His law and against His will. But in particular, the Scripture says He sets aside seven that He says in particular. I, in particular, hate these. And I want you to notice how emphatic His language is here, verse 16. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him, as if He could make it any more clear that He doesn't like these. Seven things He says that are an abomination to Him, and He starts off with haughty eyes. There's pride. Remember, it made the first of the list. What's the second on the list? Lying tongue. Wow. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. And then notice verse 19. Lying makes, of the seven, it makes the list twice. So what's God's opinion of lying? Well, He hates it. False witness that utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Lying is another one of these sins, like pride, that we kind of write off. We kind of brush it off. In fact, we've even reclassified in our society the term. We don't call it lies anymore. We call them strategic misrepresentations. We call them reality augmentations. Still lies. If you're in the political scene, we call it a spin, don't we? Still a lie. And here's what you need to know. God hates it. God hates it. Why would you do anything that God hates? I mean, you have a rough time with life anyway, right? Just like the rest of us. So why do stuff that God hates? Lying, among other things, is something that God truly hates. We even have, in our society, we have paid art form called tabloids, right? You're walking through the checkout line at HEB or Walmart, and on both sides are these magazines filled with truth, right? 98-year-old woman conceives a two-headed child in a UFO, and the crazy thing is they're making money with this stuff. Why are we... I should say you, because I never bought one. Why are you buying those things? Why? Why is our society paying for stuff that we know is smut and dirt? Why do we like the stuff that God hates? Good question. Very good question. So I tell a white lie here and there, but at least I'm not a murderer and an adulterer. Well, I will say murder and adultery, they make the list, but lying makes the list two times. Two times. God hates if you lie. He hates what you do. He hates what you do. God's got a big problem. And not only does lie make the list here, we have a list of seven things that God hates in particular here in verses 16 and following. It also makes the other big list, the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness. It also makes every other list of sins that you find in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Even makes what I call the inventory list at the end of the Scriptures in Revelation. You know what inventory is, right? It's something you do when it's all said and done. Well, Revelation, it's all said and done. And so God takes an inventory. He takes an inventory of those who are in heaven and those who aren't. And you have behind me here a description of those who will not be in heaven. Notice what he says. Outside, that is, of heaven, are the dogs, he calls them. He's not talking about your furry little friend that lives around your house. He's talking about you, friend, if you're a sinner. Now, you know, well, God shouldn't call me that. Well, sorry. Sorry, if we don't accept what the Scripture says about us, which is the truth, then we can never come to the truth. God gives a remedy for the dogs and the liars and everything else, but that remedy is not within yourself. We'll get to that in just a second. Outside, he says, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters, which you'd expect them to be outside of heaven, right? And then it also says, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Wow. That's tough. That's who's outside of heaven. But no, they're not just out there in limbo somewhere. They're inside somewhere else. Here's the other inventory list in Revelation. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, we expect those to be there, don't we? And then it says, all liars. How many lies you got to tell to be a liar? Just one. And it's a categorical, very strong language. By the Bible's written in that place, it's written in the Greek language. It's very emphatic. All liars. So if you told a lie, man, are you in trouble. Because notice where it says they go. All liars, and with the rest of the list, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Tough stuff, isn't it? All liars, that's me too. All liars go to hell? That's exactly right. That's why you need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. That's why you shouldn't expect that outside of Jesus, you're going to stand before God and say, you should let me into your heaven because I'm a good person. God's going to say, why should I let a liar into my heaven? You're not going to have an answer for that. That's why you need a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. The whole human race. We're all in the same boat. Because, I'm not an idolater. Well, maybe I am sometimes. I'm not sexually immoral. Well, maybe I am. I'm not vile. Well, maybe I am. I'm not, well, but for sure we're liars, aren't we? You need a Savior. You need the sacrifice of God's Son. You need what He did for you on the cross because God is willing to accept what He did on the cross as payment for your lies and everything else. That's really good news. That's really good news. But notice again, lying makes the list. In fact, in bold, doesn't it? All liars, it says in another one, especially those who love and practice lying. And so lying is a heinous sin, even though we may consider, we may brush it off and say it's no big deal. Lying is a heinous sin. And so we're going to be spending this Sunday and next Sunday on the topic of lying. And this Sunday we're going to be looking at some basics of what lying is and begin you off with where it comes from. Where does lying come from? Well, what we saw last time, it originated with Satan himself. We're going to see that pride comes from there. Lying comes from the same source. Jesus speaking in no uncertain terms to a group called the Pharisees. Notice what he says there. As an aside, if you will, we find where the source of lying is in John chapter 8, verse 44. You, speaking to these guys, now Jesus was a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He loves people. But he got pushed to the limit with these individuals. And they were simply not accepting of what he had to say. These are the same guys who put him on the cross, by the way. And so he speaks very straightforwardly, not cutting any corners with them. And by the way, he can do that since he is God. So, you, he said to the Pharisees, belong to your father, the devil. They had just said that he belongs to the devil. He said, no, you do. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, not if, because it is what he is, a lie. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He will lie to you. He won't do anything else. He is out to destroy your life. He will fill your head full of weird and messed up stuff. And if you follow him, your life becomes a lie because he fathers that stuff. He knows how it works. It originates with him. The first time we find him in the scriptures, we find Satan lying to Adam and Eve. He lies to them and he says, God didn't really say that you would die, did he, if you ate of this fruit? And then he goes on and creates this huge lie. He says, you will not die. He contradicts God. You will not die. God knows that in the day you eat of the fruit, he said to them, you'll become like him, knowing good and evil. Well, it was a lie. First of all, they already knew good and evil. Good is to not eat the fruit. Bad is to eat the fruit. They already knew. But he duped them. He deceived them. And in his lie, he called God a liar. You will not surely die. God lied to you. So that's the way he does things. That's the way he operates. He's a liar. So Satan is a liar from the beginning. And listen to this. When we lie, we align ourselves with his program. You understand why God hates lying? He hates it in us. Because when we lie, we align ourselves with Satan's program. God hates that. God hates it. So Satan is the father of lies. He fathered and proliferated many children. There are many species, if you will, of lies out there. And I'm going to cover four of them this morning. Different species. We like to think of lying as being only one category, but actually it falls into multiple categories. The most common species of lying is just the simple lying to someone. You lie to someone. You tell them something that is incorrect, that is inaccurate. You're trying to bolster your position or keep yourself out of trouble or whatever the circumstances may be. And so you simply lie to them, and that includes the big ones. Oh, he told a big one. And that also includes the little ones, the white lies. All of it are lies as far as God is concerned. Every bit of it. God hates it. There was a store owner, and he owned a little convenience store, anymore don't hardly have general stores, but it would be sort of like a convenience store today. But in these days, it was called a general store. And he lived in a small town in the middle of nowhere, and he had his little store up on the highway, so he got people from different walks of life. And this owner was a nice man, well-respected in the community, and he was also known for quoting Scripture, liked to quote the Bible. And especially when he would ring up a bill of sale, he would always quote a Scripture that had something to do with the whatever transaction took place there. As an example, he had this lady and her son come into his store, and the little boy was pestering his mom constantly about wanting candy. I want candy, I want candy, I want candy. The mom kept saying no. No, no, no. Well, finally the kid pushed her to the point, and she said, listen, it's too expensive. I'm not buying you candy. And the store owner heard that. And so when he finally got the attention of the little boy, he asked the little boy to come over to him, and he whispered in the little boy's ear, he says, go tell your mom that I'll sell it to you for half price. So he goes and tells his mom. His mom consequently, you know, thank you, sir. You know, he's trying to not get out of there, probably with no candy, but buys the candy. And as he rings up the bill of sale, he says, let the little children come unto me. Like I said, he always quotes Scripture every time he rings up an exchange. So days after this, there was out in the dirt parking lot of his little general store, there was this beautiful truck that drives up pulling this incredibly gorgeous, well-decked-out horse trailer. Man steps out of the truck. He's got his expensive cowboy hat on, his expensive Western suit. He's got his Rolex and his diamond ring, and he comes into the store and he says, sir, I need to buy a horse blanket. The man says, no problem. Goes into the back, gets a horse blanket, comes back out, plops it down on the counter, says, that'll be $10. The man says, $10? He says, I got a $100,000 horse out here in this trailer. I cannot put a $10. Don't you have something more expensive? Don't you have something nicer? He says, well, as a matter of fact, I do. He takes that blanket. He goes out of the same stack. He got the $10 blanket. He gets another $10 blanket. He plops it on there. He says, $20. Man says, I need something better than that. He says, I got a $100,000 horse in this trailer, and I'm not going to put a $20 blanket on a $100,000 horse. Don't you have something, say, in the $200 range? The man says, I most certainly do. Goes in the back out of the same $10 pile and gets another blanket, a different color. Comes and plops it on the counter and says, $200. The man says, thank you very much. Hands me the $200. He walks out with his $200 Horace Blanket, and all the store employees have been sort of listening in to what's going on there. And now, while they're standing pretty close, they're wondering, how's he going to make a scripture verse out of this one? So he's standing there with a cash drawer about to be open. He ponders for a second, and then something dawns on him, and he types in the numbers. The cash drawer opens. He places the cash in there. He shuts the cash drawer, and he says, he was a stranger, and I took him in. Taking people in is wrong. Taking people in, this is the last Sunday in March, which April starts it probably has already started for you, tax season. Lying on your taxes, guys, is wrong. I don't like sending them money either. But guys, it's the land we live in. The scripture says you should abide by the laws of the land. If you're cheating them, they may never catch you, but I'm no one who knows. I know one who's already caught you, and he hates what you do. Do not deceive others. Do not lie. Lying to someone, that's one species. Lying about someone is another species we call slander, right? Spreading untruths, something that you know to be untrue about someone, and you're the originator of it, you're a slanderer. A man came to his pastor, and he confessed to his pastor. He says, I have committed the sin of slander against this person, so-and-so. And he says, I am so grief-stricken over it. I am so convicted. I'm so remorseful of the way I've acted and the things that I've said. I want to make it up. Pastor, tell me, how can I fix this? I want to fix it. I want to make sure that this lie doesn't go any further, and I want all the lies to be rounded up. And the pastor says, well, he said it's too late. He said you can't do it. You need to ask God forgiveness. You need to ask this man for forgiveness. But the bottom line is that the stories you've told, there's no way to get it back in. He says, no, that's not going to work. He says, I have to make it right. I've done terrible. I've sinned against this man. I've sinned against God. I have to get it right. He says, please tell me how I can make it right. The pastor said, okay, this is what you do. Go down to Walmart, buy yourself a feather pillow. Cut the feather pillow open. Take a feather out of the pillow and place one feather on every driveway of our little town. Every driveway, every house, place a feather. The man said, okay. So he takes off to Walmart, gets his feather pillow, cuts it open, gets the feathers out, starts placing them on the driveway, and take him all day to place these feathers. And then he comes back to the pastor. He says, okay, I've done it. Is there anything else I need to do? He says, yes, one more thing you need to do. He says, I want you now to go and pick up all those feathers. And the man said, well, that's impossible. There's no way. And he said, it's been windy all day. He said, the wind's blowing. Who knows where the feathers have gone? He says, the same is true with the words you've spoken about this man. There's no way to get them back. There's no way. Be very careful, guys, what you say about people. Be very careful. The scripture says, in the same way you measure it out, it will be measured to you. Do you want stuff circulated about you? Well, then be very careful what you say. Be very careful. Slander is a lie, and God hates it. Third species that we're going to deal with this morning is what I refer to as the lying relay team. You ever ran a relay? How does a relay work? It's dependent upon a number of people, right? Someone starts it. Someone else finishes it. Someone other else's are the legs in between, and the person starts it, runs a certain distance, and hands a stick or a baton off, and then the next person runs the next leg, and the next person. The same is true with the lying relay. Do you play on the lying relay team? I hope you don't. The lying relay team, you know how slander gets around? By being relayed. That's how. Slander doesn't work if it doesn't have someone who listens to it and is willing to take the same thing that they heard and pass it on. Do you play on that team? They'll say, well, I would never tell an untruth about anyone. So are you certain about what you told? You certain what was told you? Or are you certain that it's true? Well, they said it was true. Does that make it true? Well, that's a trustworthy person. Well, let me give you an example. Someone tells you something that you, someone you trust, they say that it is true. And you go off and tell it because you trust the character of that person. Now, I'm not saying the character of that person is wrong necessarily, but here's what I know. If you weren't there to see it, and if you weren't there to hear it, then what you've gotten from this person, I don't care how good a person they are, you've gotten their interpretation